kids. Hi. How are you? I'm looking for a volunteer, but I want to put a prerequisite before it. You have absolutely got to trust me. Now, why is that funny? Huh? Were you the one I put the apple on his head and you gave the apple back? I think that was your brother. Yeah. Rusty. He didn't. Lessa, you've got to absolutely trust me now. I mean, you can't back out in the middle of the deal. All right. Huh?
Yeah.
You sure? Okay, come on. How long have I been your pastor? All my life. Okay. Me and Wes, old buddies. I'm surprised you can trust me, though. What I want to share with us out of the Word today has to do with us coming to a place to absolutely surrender our all to the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that in my life, God wants me to trust Him, to absolutely trust Him, that to be able to give Him all that I am. And look, these people are having to turn around here. Let's back up here just a little bit. To give Him all that I am and be able to trust Him that He's going to do what is right in my life. I'm a little disappointed in some of y'all not volunteering. When I put that deal, you've absolutely got to trust me. I think some of you put your hand back down. And I think that we're going to see in the Word today that God has a plan for our life. He already has it planned out. But I don't believe that we're like robots. He could have, had He wanted to, He could have programmed us. I mean, He could have just, He could have put some kind of little card in us. And we would just responded the way we were supposed to respond to every situation. And we just followed His plan out like some kind of robot. But He wants us to respond to Him out of love and out of trust that He is going to do what is right. And it's going to be a great blessing in our life. See, most of us have this idea that we know what is better for us than what God does. I caught a couple of my horses last week and put fly wipe on them. And you know what the crazy thing's done when I started trying to catch them? They took off running. And I thought, you idiots. I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to do something that is going to keep you from getting some kind of eye infection or something. I'm trying to help you and you're running. You're going the wrong direction. Is that what we do? When God is, He wants to do something in our life and we're running, we think we know what is better for us than God does, and so we're running the other direction. You remember what Peter said when God let down the sheet in front of him? And he said, come on, Peter, get up and let's have supper. Oh, no, Lord. No? No, Lord? Does those two words go together? No, Lord. Nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. And the Lord said, Peter, don't you call anything that I've cleansed common or unclean. This is my plan for you. So you see, Peter thought that he knew what was best for his life. But God knew what was best. It opened the door for me and you to be saved, all the Gentiles to be saved. So, Wesley, what I'm going to ask you to do is to just absolutely trust me today, okay? And in order to absolutely trust me, you've got to do what I ask you to do, okay? You got any money in your pocket? No, I'm not going to ask you to do that. You've got to absolutely do what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to just put your hands in front of you like this. I want you to just fall backwards and I'm going to catch you.
Right now?
Right now. You know, Wesley spent quite a bit of time with me. And so that didn't really surprise me that he thought, I got this from Greg Howerton, and he said he'd only used it a couple of times. And so I'm going to make it a little more difficult for you to absolutely, are you hearing me? Absolutely trust me. And you know, sometimes I believe that the Lord... I think sometimes the Lord puts us in situations where we can't see. Can you see? No.
Got my eyes shut.
Get your eyes closed? Okay. Where we can't see what is going on in our life, the plans that He has for us, that we can't see it. And so He wants us to just trust Him no matter what. And He says, Lanny, go ahead and trust me. You just trust me. You can leave it in my hands. Now, Wes, you trust me, buddy? Fall backwards. I told you that you couldn't quit when we got to this point. Fall backwards. Let her go. Let her go, son. Come on. You can do it. Just fall backwards. Oh, that was good. Thank you. I've used that illustration before and it wouldn't work out very good because I could not get the person to do what I was asking them to do. They would not. I asked my wife if she wanted to do that for us today and she said, I can't do it. Sometimes without us seeing what is in the future, what God has, and that's one of my problems is that I always... want to be able to see how it's going to come out. Matter of fact, I've got it all planned out how it's going to come out, don't you? I mean, I think that I know how we need to do what needs to be done. And so it's very difficult for us to just turn loose, just as Wesley could hear my voice in front of him. It was difficult for him to just turn loose. But see, I had already made plans for someone to catch him. He didn't know that. But I'd already made plans for someone to catch him. Had he known, the illustration wouldn't have been as good. But I am glad that he trusted me enough to just turn loose and fall backwards. God wants us to trust Him in that way. I've spent a whole lot of time on the introduction today, so let's get right into the Word. And this is what I want to be working on. We're going to study the life of Abraham. And we're going to be looking at some Old Testament characters and some New Testament characters over the next few weeks, and how their lives, that God used their lives, their trust in God, for us to look at and to use as an example in our life to put our trust and our faith in the Lord. And I asked Mike this week, I said, why did God choose Abraham over someone else? I mean, Abraham wasn't the only man in the country. Why did God choose Abraham? Why did God choose Abraham over Lot? And Mike said, I don't know why he chose Abraham, but I know why he didn't choose Lot. So I think that Abraham's life has these things, these characteristics about it that he wants to teach us about following him. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start on this morning and finish it tonight. So hope you'll be able to come back tonight, and we'll finish this tonight. Joseph was Joseph, whether he was in prison or in the palace. Have you noticed that about Joseph's life? Now, I wasn't the first one to come up with that. I listened to someone else say that this past week. But he was, no matter where he was at, if he was in prison or if he is in the palace, if he was in the hole that his brothers threw him in, or he was watching after his father's sheep or taking his brother's provision, no matter where he was at, no matter what he was doing, he was Joseph. He was Joseph. He wasn't putting on an air. And when the difficulties came, he was still Joseph. And when the blessings came, he was still Joseph. And I think that God wants to teach us that through these godly characters that he has given us in the Word, in the Bible, to learn by. So let's stand together, and would you take your Bible and turn to Ephesians, the second chapter. Now, I'm doing this a little different today. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified version. So it has, it'll be somewhat different than yours, perhaps, unless you have an Amplified version. But I think that it adds emphasis where we need it added. And so I think that we can get a little more out of it this way. So I'm reading it from the Amplified Bible and Ephesians 2, and I'm going to start with verse 4, and I'm going to read through verse 10. So if you would follow me in your Bible, let me read it to you. I'll read out loud and you read silently. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life which he quickened him for. It is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit together. Now, I want you to pay very close attention here, because right here is where the rubber really begins to hit the road. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us, look at this, joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere. by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. You see, it has to do with from what perspective you are looking at your life. Are you looking at it from the perspective of seated with Christ in the heavenlies? In perspective of eternity, or what's going on in our little circle down here? From what perspective are we looking at that? And He raised us up together with Him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with Him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He did this that He might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of His free grace, His unmerited favor, in His kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourself, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God, not because of works, not in the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do. So no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. Now pay close attention here. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God, now what's that next word? Predestinated. That God predestinated. And that word literally means planned beforehand. The King James says predestined. What does the King James say? Before ordained. Okay. The word is predestination. Now don't be afraid of that. It's okay. Planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Let's pray together. Father, thank You and praise You for the day that You've given us. Lord, I pray that You'd open our hearts and our minds. Lord, if I could grab hold of this, it would change my life. Help me to live my life seated in the proper perspective of what You have planned. Lord, help me live my life being willing to turn loose of those things that I hang on to and surrender absolutely and completely to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I believe that God's purpose for me in studying the men that God wrote about in the Bible is to bring me to a place, and you might underline this, I don't know if it's in the outline or not, but it's a place to respond by yielding my life unconditionally to Him. That God's showing me these examples in His Word, that I might unconditionally, are you hearing what I'm saying? Unconditionally, Lord, I want to surrender to You, but this is what I want. This is what I want in return. Unconditionally surrendering my life to Him. And hopefully, because You will be going through it with me, that you might also yield yourself unconditionally to God. Okay, let's back up just a little bit from Ephesians, and you think, well, when is he going to get to Abraham? And I will eventually, maybe tonight. Galatians, Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians, the first chapter. God eternally chose man. Now let me read what I believe about predestination before I read this verse. The doctrine of predestination doesn't teach that some are chosen for heaven while others are chosen for hell. Now, get amen there?
Amen.
I mean, if you understand predestination, you understand that is the truth. That people are not chosen. Some are not chosen for heaven while others are chosen for hell. That is not what predestination teaches. Even though there's a lot of folks that are trying to teach that, that is not what the predestination of the Scripture teaches. Rather, predestination teaches that for the Christian, God predestined you to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that's what it is all about. That's what it is all about. That you and I have been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. When I look in the mirror, now I see an old gray-haired fat man. But what God's plan for me is that when I look in the mirror, I see the reflection of Jesus. Are you hearing me today, church? That whenever things do not go to suit me, when things are not right in my life, when I'm in a desperate situation, that Jesus is what comes out, not Lenny. And that's God's plan for my life. And that's what He has predestined for my life, is that I be conformed to the image of His Son. And so, as I read these Old Testament characters, and I just see so many of them that I just love, man. I think, oh, that's right. That's why God chose him. That's what God is building in his life. And we understand that as we study the life of Abraham, that God is building this in Abraham's life. When Abraham, I'm getting way ahead of myself here. You give me a little privilege, will you? When Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen were having trouble, Abraham said, "You choose. You choose. You get to choose the very best." Shows the character of Abraham. Now, what about us? When we're faced with that same kind of situation? I'm frying the eggs. And some way that thing got away from me and I dropped it in the floor. And I pick it up. Now I'm faced with a choice. Do I put it on Gwen's plate or my plate? You see what I mean? When Abraham was faced with that choice, he put it on his plate. Is that not true? That is true. And God is showing us through the character of Abraham what He means for our character to be like that. Gail, have you been putting that on Joe's plate? Okay. He got it after the dog licked it. God eternally chose me, Ephesians 1, verse 3 through verse 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You get that? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Did you know that God has these plans for you and plans for me that are good, and we just keep getting in the way? That we keep thinking that we know what is best for us. And we run from God when God is trying to bless us. And we're hanging on to some kind of trinket that will all be burned up one of these days. That we're hanging on to these trinkets in our life that don't amount to a hill of beans, and we are looking at them as something kind of special, something that really is worth living for. And God says, you turn loose of that, I've got something a whole lot better for you. Something that is in eternal terms. Something that you can take. God's thinking about you. And he's thinking about me. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through verse 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. And not of evil, to give you an expected end. My Bible translates that hope in the later end. That it's a life of hope. It's hope that's alive. It's a hope that is alive. We see it. Then shall you call upon me. And you shall go and pray unto me, and I'll hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all of your heart. You see, I think that when we think of David, we think of a man after God's own heart. Now, I know that David really did some fouling up, didn't he? I mean, he really messed up, and sometimes that's what we think of when we think of David is how he messed up. When we think of Joseph, not only what you think of when you think of Joseph, but when I think of Joseph, I think of the conflict between he and his brothers and his forgiveness of his brothers. And he says to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And when we think of Abraham, do you think of Abraham, the friend of God? God's friend. There are not very many, I don't know if anyone else in the Bible where God said, this is my friend. So I don't know about you, but as I was looking at these passages this week, I was thinking, God, that's what I want in my life. I want to be the friend of God, don't you? I mean, really, I want to be the friend of God. I want God to think of me as his friend. That he can trust me. And that I can trust him. And we're going to discover as we look at the life of Abraham that God gave Abraham things because he could trust Abraham with it. He's called the friend of God. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me half-heartedly. Whenever there's not anything else that you really want to do. When there's not anything, if there's not anything else going on. He puts a term in there that really hits the road. With all your heart. You're going to find me when you look for me with all your heart. When you do what Wesley did, blindfold and all, you just turn loose and drop into the hands of God. And the outcome is up to Him, not to us trying to direct the outcome, but doing what God. Now, that doesn't mean laying in the easy chair, not ever doing anything. That's not what this is talking about. That's talking about in all the aspects of our life that we are surrendered to Him. I'm going to read one more passage and then we're going to quit for this morning. We'll take up here tonight. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know. Do you know? Paul said, we know. We know. How? Well, we know because we've experienced it before. We know because we've turned loose before. We know because this is just the pattern of our life. This is just how we're living out our lives. We know that all things, not most things, not some things, all things. Now, Brother Lane, that cannot be true. That cannot be true. That all things. We just got to take that all out there, and we're going to have to put most in there. We've got to take the all out. Because this is what's going on right now in my life. You don't understand what my family is like. You don't understand my husband. You don't understand my wife. You don't understand these kids that God's given me. A bunch of renegades. If you understood that, you couldn't say all things. You don't understand my boss. You don't understand this job that I'm doing. You don't understand the situation that I've gotten in. And yet, the Lord says, for the Christian, for the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, that has put all their trust and their faith in the Lord Jesus, that He is going. Are you hearing me today, church? That He is going to exchange ashes for beauty. That if you trust Him and you fall into His arms and you put all of your trust in Him, He is going to work it out for His good and for your good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I didn't say that. God said that. And you can argue with it all you want to, but that's the truth of the Scripture. And the quicker that you and I surrender our will to His will, the better off you and I will be. Who are the called according to His purpose. Isn't that good stuff? I mean, that is good stuff. For whom He did foreknow, He also did, did predestinate. He planned it in advance. To be conformed to the image of His Son, looking in the mirror, seeing Jesus, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Walking in His steps. Responding the way that He would respond. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified. He made the plan. He has a plan for me. It just overwhelms me that he loves me. It overwhelms me that I could be in the miry clay down at the bottom of the pit, the psalmist said. And he inclined his ear unto me, and he heard my cry when I didn't even know to cry. He inclined his ear unto me, and he heard my cry. And the Bible says that he reached down into the pit, and he picked me up out of the miry clay. Do you hear me, folks? That he picked me up out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon the rock. Let's stand together. If you're here today and not yet a Christian, I want to appeal to you to make a decision for Christ today. He has a plan for your life. You can foul that plan all up. You can reject him and spend eternity in a devil's hell because of your decision to reject him. Or you can choose him today and follow him in the free pardon of sin and be saved. He's got a plan for you. You can reject it, but he has a plan for you. Would you come today and be saved? Would you step out from where you're at and come to where I'm at and say, Brother Lanny, I want to be saved. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here today and need to recommit your heart to him, rededicate your life to him, you've stepped out of the way, but you want to recommit your heart and your life to him today, I want to ask you to come. If you're here today and God's dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship by joining the church, if you've not been baptized following the Lord in believer's baptism, we want to invite you to come today. Would you just do business with the Lord as the Lord deals with your heart today? Feel free to come, pray, do whatever God's dealing with you to do. As we sing, you come.